In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy The American Adversaries.
Thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. All right, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we are coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios, where we are high and dry, and you can see us on the Titan Cave Cam. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to your Facebook pages, or our Facebook page, pardon me, on your computers or whatever device, and access us at American Adversaries on Facebook. All right, got a big show lined up for you here tonight, and of course coming to you now live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. Of course, our sister station 1520 WBZW, where you would have been able to listen to us if the Rays post-game show were still going on. And, of course, you can always listen to us as well, regardless of the Rays playing or not, on am660theanswer.com. Your smart devices by downloading the free Answer Orlando app. And, of course, on Alexa devices. And, as well, as I said, on Facebook. Okay, so Aubrey Kahn is not with us tonight. He has spent this weekend giving away one of his daughters to marriage. His middle daughter got married, and he's been attending the ceremony, so he'll be back next week. I, of course, am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, and the number is 407-774-8255. Kathy Santomassino will be in a little bit early tonight. And, of course, we got our gorgeous lady of wrestling, Sunny, that is Patricia Summerlin, lined up to join us later in the 7 o'clock hour. But, once again, you can join us at any time at 407-774-8255. Or you can send me a message on the Facebook page there. Or shoot me an email via our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, so got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the election. President Trump is hitting the campaign trail this fall. Of course, we kind of already knew that. And he'll be doing that just here Tuesday when he will be in Tampa. And I believe the tickets are all already gone. However, if you do get a ticket, it's always first come, first serve. So the ticket doesn't necessarily guarantee you entrance. It just guarantees you a possible entrance if there is room. He is going to be in one of the exhibit halls at the fairgrounds over there in Tampa. And let me see. Here it is. I got this yesterday or Friday it is. You can go to where can you go to get your tickets? I'll pull that up here in a second. But the president is going to play a very active role this fall in the campaign. It is going to be pretty much a referendum on the president, and he accepts that role and does not shy away from it. And I dare say if any Republican candidates, especially in strongly conservative districts, shy away from him, it will be at their own risk, because the president is overwhelmingly popular within the Republican Party. And a lot of people say, well, it's because the Republican Party is shrinking. The Republican Party is maintained about a 30% participation rate for a number of years. It fluctuates. Both parties fluctuate. You had some shrinking in the Democrat Party when President Obama was running the show. So I wouldn't get too worried about that. The strength of the president's support in the party is, as I said, overwhelming, bumping up against 90%. And those are extraordinary numbers and only surpassed by George W. Bush during 9/11. And that was obviously an extraordinary time. And obviously that didn't last. And the nice thing, I guess, about President Trump starting out with low numbers is kind of the room to move is up, not much room to move down. And, of course, with good economic numbers, it does give the win, the president a bit of a tailwind. But, of course, then you got the resistant wins from the media. Now, I want to talk about that a little bit tonight because I think the media's got themselves in a bit of a catch-22. And if you remember the movie or the book, Catch-22, Catch-22 is kind of it's a situation where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You kind of screwed either way. And the way it went in the book is this was about a bomber deployment in World War II, and they were running their missions, and of course a lot of them getting shot down in the process, and a lot of the guys didn't want to continue doing the missions, and the storyline goes the military kept extending the number of missions they had to fly before they could be automatically discharged. And the main character was a guy named Yossarian. And Yossarian is the one who gets, you know, sort of explores, gets caught up in the Catch-22. They were all, in essence, caught up in it. And the Catch-22 for them went something like this. These guys would say they could no longer fly. They were too crazy to fly. And the logic on the military was, well, if you're too crazy to fly, that proves you're sane, and therefore you're capable of flying, because nobody in their right mind would want to do that sort of thing, bomb civilians and that sort. And so the Catch-22 was, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I think the media and the liberal establishment in particular have got themselves in a bit of a Catch-22. Before we get into that, though, if you've been watching, I mean listening to the Rays postgame show, I hope you will stick around and listen to this show. We are a political talk show, and perhaps you'll like what you hear, perhaps you won't like what you hear, but it'll keep you awake on the drive home, perhaps, from Tampa. But the baseball had a pretty big day today. It was the induction ceremony for the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that's why I want to kind of divert all of a sudden here away from the main topic to congratulate a local fella, local boy, who made it big, Larry Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones, of course, played for the Atlanta Braves exclusively throughout his career. And if you remember, he was the third baseman for, I guess, 17 or 18 seasons when the Braves had that great run of league championship after league championship. Even though they only won one World Series, they went to several of them and had some great pitching along the way. Bobby Cox, the manager, I think it was Leo Moscone, was the pitching coach, and they really had a great team, and Chipper Jones racked up some great numbers. And he's from right up the street here in Pearson, Florida, which is, I think, just kind of north or northeast or west or whatever it is of DeLand there. And, like, if you're going through DeLand on 1792, you would take it as it veered off, I think, on 17 going north. Anyway, local fella from Pearson. We know we have some listeners up that way. Some of you may know Chipper Jones, and I've been a Braves fan all my life. Some of my earliest memories of listening to the radio was listening with my dad in the car to some staticky Atlanta Braves games being called by Ernie Johnson and Milo Hamilton, who were there during the Hank Aaron era and all of that. And by the way, speaking of that, back in those days, you know, the Atlanta Braves were early Boston Braves, one of the earliest baseball organizations. They were the Boston Braves. Then they went to Milwaukee, became the Milwaukee Braves. And then in Let's see. 66. Thank you, Jeff. They moved to Atlanta, and a fella by the name of Tony Cloninger threw the first pitch for the Braves at their new stadium, which then was called Atlanta Stadium, later became called Fulton County Stadium. It's been demolished now. I think they're now on their third baseball stadium. Anyway, Cloninger was a pitcher for the Braves for a couple of seasons. He was traded later on, but he is the only pitcher, and this was when he was with the Braves, to hit two Grand Slam home runs in the same game. I think he drove in 9 runs that day, and he was quite a pitcher. And in that first game that he pitched on April the 12th, 1966, he pitched all 13 innings in a 3-2 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And a home run by Willie Stargell is what broke the tie in the 13th inning. They don't do that anymore, ladies and gentlemen. But once again, hats off to Chipper Jones and his family up and friends up the street here. And I tell you what, that brought a lot of joy those years to myself and a lot of Braves fans in the family that I know and other friends. And it was just a really, really fun time for the Braves. Not having a bad season this year. Matter of fact, their pitcher almost threw a no-hitter today. He lost it with 2 outs in the 9th inning. But a big day for Chipper Jones and the Atlanta Braves. All right, so as I said, I want to talk about this situation that I do believe that the media and the liberals have themselves into. And I'm going to weave it in and out of some things that happened this week, this here Catch-22. We're going to talk about the Cohen tape and the allegations now by Rudy Giuliani that has been tampered with. We're going to talk a little bit about the busting of Maria Butina, and we're also going to talk about what has been called an ideal environment for the Democrats this fall, in the sense that if they can't pick up the House this fall, when could they ever pick it up? Because in a lot of people's minds, the situation is quite ideal. I beg to differ because of that Catch-22. So as I said, we're going to try to weave all that here together tonight. I hope you'll stay with me. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and I see I got some viewers, on the Facebook page. Thanks for doing that. And of course, if you can't watch right now on Facebook, you can always go back and do that at your convenience later on. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And of course, if you'd like to listen to any of our past shows, and of course, there's a lot of them out there now, almost 2,000 that aren't on Facebook, you'll have to go to our archive, which is AmericanAdversaries.com. And that's where you'll find all of our great sponsors, ads, and if you click on those, it'll take you to their website. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, so we'll take a break, come back on the other side, and we'll dive into this thing head on. So stick with us for our Sunday evening American Adversaries 3-hour classic tour.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
All right, dirty deeds and the done the cheap. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries on a Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. So this thing comes out this week with Michael Cohen, the fixer, the dirty deeds guy. You know, he take care of the dirty deeds. He does them dirt cheap. And this the media's just had a fit. They thought this was it. And it turns out it ain't nothing but a bunch of that word. And so the media is, well, you know, they are just, they can't. As a matter of fact, little Chucky Todd this morning admitted on his show something that I thought that was, we've always kind of known this more or less, but this solidifies it for everyone, for posterity's sake. He said, and this is he said, we will be fighting the results of the 16 election for the rest of our lives. And he was sort of waving his hand at the people sitting at his table, you know, the so-called experts, the eggheads, the people who get paid big money and don't do it as half as good as we do here. And so they'll be fighting those results for the rest of their lives. Just think about that for a minute. They're going to be fighting the results of an election for the rest of their lives. They must have some pretty doggone empty lives to have to fight for the rest of their lives over an election. But there is that credibility thing. And I've talked about this on the show before. You see, if they accept the results of the 2016 election, it means that they were all dead wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. And that chips away a great deal at their credibility. It's like, okay, why should we listen to you next time? So, rather than admit that they were wrong, they have backed themselves into a catch-22 where they have to dispute the election results. Because there has to be something else out there as a reason why they were so dead wrong, you see. If they were simply so dead wrong because they're a bunch of the ignoramuses that they are and self-righteous, sanctimonious punks, well, that don't do good. But they can't accept that they were wrong. They have to continue to exude this aura of correctness, that they are somehow the ones who are correct, and that Trump and everything about Trump and his supporters and people like us, we're the buffoons, we're the clowns, we're the ones who don't know what we're talking about. And yet, they are the ones who got it so wrong. Well, you see, they can't go with that. They have to fight it. They have to, and now they've got themselves into where they have to fight this in perpetuity, because there is nothing there. It's like these tapes that just came out. There's nothing there. Even if you take them at face value, even if you assume that they have not been tampered with, as Rudy Giuliani says they have, and it appears as though they clearly have, there has been some form of tampering, because the tape stops at a very convenient moment for people who are trying to make the president look bad. Now, evidently, there's another 12 or 13 tapes. There was 183, evidently, that the judge is allowing to go forward in this legal process, and did not exclude them because of some sort of privilege, attorney-client, or didn't relate to anything or whatever. 183, according to Rudy Giuliani. And according to him, 12 to 13, and the prosecutors, he said, have been pretty good about this, that they have to tell him, and they have been telling what evidence they have to the president's legal team, that 12 to 13 other tapes involve the president. However, he is not on any of them. It is Cohen talking with other people about the president. Don't know what's on there. The Giuliani says that a lot of it is corroborative evidence to the president's case. In other words, makes the president look good. But this tape that they did release, there have been some forensics people who look at it and say that it's hard to tell because it is a tape of a recording. So the tape you have been hearing, and that's why you hear so many different variations of it, is because they're all not the original tape, the original recording, whether it was his phone or whatever. I say tape, but you know what I mean. And this guy was doing this. He also did it to Chris Cuomo, or the, whatever the guy's name is on CNN. Cuomo had come to his office for an off-the-record interview, so Cohen said, okay, let me have your phone. He took Cuomo's phone, put it in his desk drawer, and meanwhile recorded the conversation on his own phone. Thank you very much. But the media is just all hysterics about this because they're clutching at anything they can find. Anything that they can find to prove that it wasn't a legitimate election. As Todd said, they're now going to have to fight this for the rest of their lives. The rest of their journalistic lives anyway, because their credibility is shot to hell unless they can figure out some way to rain on Trump's parade and his presidency. And that's what they've been trying to do ever since. And it never really mattered if there was any truth to it or not. All they needed was something that they, a drum that they could bang on and say, see, we weren't so wrong after all. All y'all were duped. You were duped by the Russians. You were the ones who were dumb, not us. We would have gotten it right if it weren't for you dupes and the Russians out there. And so they are clutching at any old thing they can find to show some modicum of proof of that. Unfortunately for them, there has been none. And there is none here. And there is none in the Trump Tower meeting. And it doesn't matter if the Trump, if President Trump knew before, after, or whatever. Doesn't matter in terms of a legal sense. And we know that all along this is also a political battle. But the political battle is going to be played out this fall. And it is going to be played out in elections all across the country, including right here in Central Florida, where we got some key races going on. And we have got to get out and support the president. And I'll get to that a little bit more here in a few minutes, but I want to get back to this Catch-22 thing, because in a way, we're being helped out by these people, but it is still a sketchy thing anytime you go into an election race, because you never really know how it's going to come out. You can wish, you can hope, you can pray, you can predict, but you never know until election day. Now, even when people who thought they had the fix in, I guess they didn't know either, did they? Look at 2016. They all thought they had the fix in. The fix was in. Everybody thought the fix was in. Now, in the media's case, there were probably a lot of them who weren't aware of all the shenanigans going on behind the scenes. A lot of them probably did know, especially if they're based in Washington, D.C. But to them, it was so obvious. There's no way Trump's going to beat Hillary Clinton. Are you kidding? They didn't have to know all the machinations that the Clinton campaign was going through. They just figured that was going to be taken care of. Didn't have to know. Because in their minds, the Clintons didn't need to resort to any of that. That she was going to wear him, she was going to beat the tar out of him. That's how little they know about the rest of the country. That's their self-righteous, sanctimonious, cultish attitude going on. And it is, and with that comes along the dripping disdain for us. And so they've got themselves into this situation where there is no story there, but they have to continue to make sure there is a story there. And that's why where this, and it was interesting to watch them, you know, because every time one of these things comes along, you hear phrases like, this is the turning point, this is it, this is the one. I haven't heard smoking gun used, but certainly turning point has been a regular phrase over the last week or so, especially since Helsinki. Helsinki was going to be the turning point. But then this morning, I heard old Martha, Aunt Hagatha Raddatz, say that it is this tape of Cohen's which is going to somehow be the turning point. Turning point for what? Because all of the polling shows that the more they clamor on and clatter on about all this, the more solid the president's support is within his own party, and it extends outside of that. He's shown approval ratings of in the mid 40 percentiles across polls. And there ain't that many registered Republicans in the country, ladies and gentlemen. So he's getting a lot of support out there. And none of his other support has gone away. And you see them sort of marveling about it. They got this pollster on CBS. Now, this guy's pretty fair, I'll admit. And he was pretty fair during the campaign, too. He was one of the ones out there who every now and then would sound the voice of caution that maybe, just maybe, he can do this. And he's been polling around ever since the inauguration. And guess what? Nobody is breaking from Trump. Nor should we. If we do, we are breaking from ourselves. We are breaking from America. This is it. This is on the line. And this is going to be a huge election this fall. All right? So we're going to take a hard break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation and continue weaving in and out of the catch-22 the libs and the media have themselves in. But it's only good if we make it good. We'll be right back. I'll explain.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A police chief whose home was destroyed when fire tore through his Northern California city says he will continue to stay on duty. Reading Police Chief Roger Moore told CNN on Sunday his father's home also burned in the blaze, but his family has good support. Moore says property can be replaced, but not the lives taken by the fire. The average price of regular grade gasoline in the U.S. fell by 3 cents over the past couple of weeks to $2.91. Oil analyst Trilby Lundberg says, however, that prices at the pump were much cheaper last July. New Orleans Police Chief Michael Harrison says that two armed individuals walked up to a crowd Saturday evening and opened fire. He says three people were killed. Seven more were wounded before the shooters escaped. He's calling on witnesses or anyone with information on the shooting to come forward. More details at srnnews.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself. At Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to save safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Everybody, that's right. It's your boy, the 7 foot wonder kid himself, the blueprint Matt Morgan, the genetic giant. And right now, you're listening to the American Adversaries Political Professional Wrestling Show only on Orlando's WRL FM 105.5 and on AM 660. The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thanks for being with us. That's right, we're now well into our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. You got me, Christopher Hart, here in the Relaxing Comfort Studio, where the number is 407-774-8255. And when you're out and about and you want to stop around and look at a place where you can find some really relaxing stuff, that, of course, is Relaxing Comfort at Windermere, Winter Park Village. You got the Seminole Town Center store and the store in the Villages in Lake County. And I tell you what, those massage chairs, anti-gravity chairs, and these sleep systems that they have, you got to get yourself down there and check these things out, ladies and gentlemen. If you have any kind of lingering health issues, chronic issues, you'd be surprised how much, you know, a proper night's sleep can do to make your health a lot better. That's Relaxing Comfort. And don't forget to tell them you heard about it from the American Adversaries. Okay, we're talking about this sort of catch-22, I do believe, that the left has themselves caught in. And it is it's a situation, as I explained, it comes from the movie, the book, Catch-22, where the idea was you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you were deemed crazy for flying missions in World War II, that meant that you were sane enough to fly, because only a crazy person would do that sort of thing. So it is a weird situation where you're sort of caught up in this spiral. And the Democrats, here's the situation they're caught up in. As I said earlier, Chuck Todd admitted today that they're going to be fighting the results of the 2016 election for the rest of their lives, at least for the rest of their journalistic lives, because in their mind, they have to. They can't admit that they were abjectly wrong. They were just totally, totally wrong. Now, in my mind, if they'd have admitted it from the beginning and moved on from there, they could have recovered. But they chose not to do that. They chose to fight the results, and they are continuing to fight the results and plan to continue to do so ad infinitum. And it's because they can't accept the fact mainly that they were wrong. They were just, and they get on the president for, he'll never recognize the fact that Russians tampered to help him. They'll never recognize that. He's recognized on multiple occasions that the Russians were messing around, but he never admitted that it was to his advantage. As a matter of fact, if you listen to all the people who really know, they, to a one, say that the Russians weren't trying to help either candidate. They were simply trying to, how do they put it, sow chaos in our democratic process. And, well, they've been very successful at it. And it's because the media has been such a pack of useful idiots, as Lenin used to call them. Because they can't admit that they were wrong about this. So they're carrying the Russians' water way past where the Russians ever thought that it would go. Because they're now caught up, and they have a personal vendetta based on their personal just lack of maturity to recognize their error. And, hey, look. During 2012, I thought Romney was going to win. I remember one night, I guess it was in September or October of that year, I was in here waiting for Larry. He comes in the door, and I see this real gloomy look on his face. Old Larry, I could usually read him like a book. And no offense, Larry, just because we're such good friends, but I could see the gloomy look on his face. Okay, all right, what's bugging you? He looks up and he goes, Obama's going to win. Romney's going to lose. I said, oh, come on, no. Said, oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Obama's going to win, Romney's going to lose. So at that point, I started tempering my predictions. But when Election Day came around and Obama won and Romney lost, when I came in here the next day, I admitted my mistake. I even kind of made a little fun of myself. I put a Tootsie Roll in my mouth and was chewing that when I went on mic and as though I was eating crow. And sometimes you got to admit you got it wrong, and then you move on from there. It's kind of like in baseball. Every now and then you're going to strike out. It's just a law of averages, say so. But the media couldn't accept it. They were just so very wrong and so shamed by this. So shamed and disgusted that how dare we elect this guy? So not only did they set about to prove somehow that they weren't so wrong, but then now they also have this nasty vendetta because how dare we elect this guy? It would have been bad enough, say, Romney. But this guy? Right? And yet there we did it. And yet now, look at this. They keep running the same stuff at us over and over and over. It's just like the Billy Bush stuff. Same stuff. Only the president, you know, is not being implicated in this stuff. They want you to think he is, but he's not. But they just keep running the same old garbage out over and over again in order to once again prove that they are right, they are correct, they are somehow morally superior. No, they're not. They were wrong, they were dead wrong, and now they're caught in this catch-22 because the more they run this stuff out, the more solid the president gets with his own base. And that's where you start in politics. If you don't have a solid base behind you, you ain't going nowhere. And so they are, with these attacks, they are making him more and more of a sympathetic figure, especially when they are so empty. But, you know, there's, oh gosh, now Mueller's got something with Cohen. Well, here's the problem with Cohen. And both Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie said this morning. And that is, you can't call this guy as a witness. He would be impeached by the cross-examination in about 5 minutes. And this tape, he's going to have to prove a whole chain of how it was done, where it was done, who was there, who wasn't there, and what happened in between, all those months in between. What happened? What was going on with it? This is not something that Herr Mueller can really sink his teeth into. Now, he's probably just resigned himself to writing a report that could be used in an impeachment trial against the president should the Democrats win the House, which brings it back to us. Now, the support for the president is very strong, but if that support doesn't get out to the polls this fall, it's not going to mean a hill of beans. You know, we've got to follow through on this, all right? And then you got this story, and I'm going to get back to that here in a few minutes, top of the hour. But then I want to go to this, and by the way, they're saying that the president and Cohen no longer have a joint defense agreement, and that's been over for a long time. And once again, they're just trying to build this into something that it is not. Cohen himself's probably in some serious trouble, especially with his law license. And who knows what kind of maneuvering he's trying to do. But in an odd sort of way, perhaps he's out there still helping the president. Perhaps this is all meant to help the president. Because as I said, there's really nothing there. And even though Rudy Giuliani approved this tape being released, he didn't release it. It was Lanny Davis and Michael Cohen, who released this tape, which it undercuts his ability to make a deal with Mueller, and it allows the president to attack the tape. Perhaps Michael Cohen is not yet turned against the president. Or perhaps in a case of poetic justice, he has, but it's working out to the president's favor, not his. Then you got the arrest of Maria Butina, is how I'm pronouncing her name. It just sounds more feminine to me, Butina. Anyway, Maria was a student at American University, which I had thoughts of going to when I was considering going to graduate school, because it's a great way to, you know, those institutions there in Washington, D.C. are a great way to leapfrog right into the government. And she was she got her master's degree there. She's already had a number of other degrees from Russia. And it was, by the way, during the Obama administration that she got these visas to come here to this country. And evidently, even though she had a pretty high profile in Russia, there have been no reports so far that she was under surveillance so much when she got here. It appears as though some of this stuff was because she, when she got here, she was became involved with a Russian oligarch who supposedly was financing her school. Now, she says he wasn't. But the FBI says that she was, and that she was a registered agent, and she was trying to work herself into the NRA and influence our politics here. And her whole goal was to get politicians more favorable to Russia, in more prominent, influential positions somehow. This is another bogus case, because they're telling us that this student, by joining the groups and somehow becoming affiliated with the NRA, that she was going to influence Republican candidates to be more favorable to Russia. Perhaps if she was naive enough and the Russians were naive enough to believe that she could pull that off, this is not a very, shall we say, sophisticated or high-level operation. It is, however, very indicative to something that the Russians have done for a long time, and that is that they do seek to infiltrate organizations here in the United States in order to sow seeds of discontent and chaos. They did it during the 1960s with the peace movement, the anti-war movement, the Black Panthers, all of that. They were infiltrating those organizations to help them out, to spur them on, to create chaos. And guess what? We're doing in Iran. We're doing the same thing. And evidently, if we are to believe the FBI and others, she was up to the same thing. But it was a very, as I said, unsophisticated operation, and was not going to get results. But because she asked President Trump a question at a conference that he was at, they got this rambling answer from Trump that said he would do things differently. And to the media, she got a commitment from Trump that he was going to do away with the sanctions should he become elected president of the United States. Well, that proof of collusion didn't work out, because he has made the sanctions. You might say it at the behest of the Congress, but he also did his own, some on his own, and expelling spies and diplomats on his own. He has made it worse for the Russians, just in diplomatic terms, not to mention in military terms with NATO and Poland and Ukraine and all of that. So now, whatever commitment they thought they had, it sure didn't play out. So once again, and look at what these folks are doing to people's lives. They are destroying people's lives, and they don't seem to care whose lives they destroy, simply so they can save face. But the problem is, the more they push this stuff, the less effect that it has in the sense that they want it to have, but the more it empowers the president. It's a sweet little catch-22. But to lock it in, we got to get to the polls. And I got to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll continue this conversation. And by the way, I need to make a correction. Something we said, or I said, on the show Friday was actually incorrect. So, rather than trying to create some sort of fake news story as to why I was wrong, I'm going to tell you how I was wrong and admit that I was wrong, which I already did. So I'll be right back, tell you how and why, and maybe just how or where I was wrong. Something like that. Stick around and find out with me.
Do you you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Thanks for tuning in tonight. 407-774-8255 is the number. So the media is caught up in this catch-22 where they can't admit that they were wrong in 2016. They got to keep beating this drum, but it's an empty drum. And the more they beat it, the less the sound resonates. But they got to continue to beat it because they can't admit that they were wrong. I was wrong about something on Friday. We were talking about the 55 remains, presumably, of American military personnel who have been sent back by the North Koreans. There's an estimated of up to maybe 4,000 military personnel who are unaccounted for that could possibly be accounted for with some extensive search efforts. But the 55 were not the first remains returned since the Korean War, as I said on the show Friday. In fact, during the agreement that Jimmy Carter spearheaded in 1995-96, that part of the agreement then was that remains would be repatriated. And the process did begin. And it lasted until the Bush administration, George W. Bush, ended the process about 8 or 9 years later because of North Korea's a more aggressive pursuit of nuclear weapons and missile technology. So, in fact, Jimmy Carter, when he negotiated that deal, part of it was to repatriate remains. So I want to make that clear. We were wrong about that. I was saying this, the bragging on the president, that he was the first president. 11 prior administrations had tried and failed. In fact, that was wrong. So I make that correction. And I'll make sure to make it during the week as well, since we've got a little bit different audience. So, but, you know, as I said, you know, law of averages, you know, you're not going to be right about everything. If you are, you're not going to have any friends, for one. It's just humanly impossible. I mean, even the big fuzz guy, Rushbow himself, brags about 99.5 or whatever it is, percent, 99, which means there is that slight margin of error there. But the media really got themselves into a box because they were just so very big wrong about Trump. And even though the signs were there all along to see that it could go for Trump. And so, but as I said, they've locked themselves in now. They have to continue beating this drum. They have to continue to try to make, you know, these headline stories out of things that really don't amount to a hill of beans. But it also suits the purpose of two other reasons. And that is, one, they hope, and they have succeeded to some extent, to slow the president down in the implementation of his ideas and his agenda. I don't believe there's any question about that, and that they are hoping that it will generate, obviously, enthusiasm in the Democrat base to get out and counter any enthusiasm that exists still for the president and his base, and obviously to try to turn independents who voted for President Trump away from him in the midterm election, at least to begin with, and against him so that they can at least take over the House. I think that everybody's pretty resigned to the fact that unless just something absolutely politically monumental happens between now and November, the Republicans are going to maintain the Senate. They're likely to pick up some seats. My estimate of how many seats that they could pick up is anywhere between one and a half a dozen. And it just depends on how tough they hang with Trump and how good of campaigns they can run. But look, we know the Republicans are pretty good at pulling defeat out of the jaws of victory. So, I'm not putting a lot of money that they're going to sweep, you know, into a 60-seat majority in the Senate. There are 10 seats that should be very competitive. But out of those 10, I predict between one and a half a dozen. And realistically, I think it'll be four or five. We'll see. But in the House, it's a much different story. Look at Florida, for instance. Here in Florida, you have two races in the southern part of the state where the Democrats have a real chance because of the change in the districting lines. Gerrymandering, whatever you want to call it, which had sort of favored Democrats the last time around when this judge forced it. And perhaps the influx of people from Puerto Rico. Those two districts down there are definitely in play. Now, there's pretty much nowhere else in the state where the Republicans can make up for those two seats. So if we hold the rest of the seats that the Republicans have in the House in Florida right now, stand to lose two seats. That's not good. And we only have one, maybe two races here in Central Florida where the Republicans have a chance of regaining a couple of seats, but it is going to be a monumental task. You got Darren Soto down there in Osceola Polk County, and I just don't see the Republicans spending a lot of money on that race. Well, maybe I'll be wrong. I hope they prove me wrong. But unless they do, Darren Soto will be back again. The only thing we can hope, perhaps, is that Alan Grayson and Soto will mar each other so much in this primary that whoever comes out on top will be beatable. But once again, it's going to depend on the Republican Party and perhaps even the president to want that seat bad enough to put some time and money and effort into it. And then you got the District 7 seat right here in Florida, which is, right here in the Orlando Winter Park, Seminole County area, where you have now Stephanie Murphy, who had taken that seat from John Micah, and that also had to do with some of the rejiggering of the district lines, changing the demographics somewhat. And we know that that Orange County is getting bluer and bluer, and Seminole County, like it or not, is getting purpler and purpler. And so it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Now, that's a race I do believe that the president and the Republican Party will put some time, effort, and money into. But, I mean, it's going to take work on our part to get it done. First and foremost, to get out and vote ourselves, but also to get other people who can help to get out and vote. So it's, you know, so even on a good day in Florida, we could end up a seat down after Election Day. And that would be a pretty good day, I hate to say it, for Florida. It should be come out of it a seat up
not one or two down. But those are the demographics, and you got the similar situation in Pennsylvania, and then, of course, in California out there. They're salivating that they think that they can pick up some of these seats like Daryl Issa, who is retiring, and a couple others out there who are retiring. It's a bit of a long shot, but it is doable. So it is quite possible if we relax, if people who, normally come out in the presidential elections but don't come out in the off-year elections, if they don't come out in significant numbers, this whole thing could get stalled by the Democrats simply retaking the House. It's all they got to do. Matter of fact, all they got to really do is get it really, really close. Maybe not even retake it. Just get it within, say, a half dozen seats. Because what then they will be able to do is put much more pressure on the Republicans to buck the president. Now, if they do retake the House, then it's then it's on to 2020, but it means nothing will get done in the meantime. Except the Democrats will use the opportunity to, guess what, beat the drum over and over and over again. They would start from the very beginning with this whole Russia collusion nonsense, and it would be 2 years of nothing but that. And articles of impeachment, impeach 45. She would be a hero of the House, and oh, they would be glorious days for the Democrats. Well, we can't let that happen. And it is in our hands. We got the whole world, ladies and gentlemen, in our hands. We got the whole wide world in our hands. What are we going to do with it? That's the question tonight. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with this? Clock keeps running out. We'll be right back.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group.
In a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government, a confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn, News Talk Divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin, and more. Now, sit back and enjoy The American Adversaries.
Show, ladies and gentlemen. Whew. I just had to trot up those stairs.
But it was for a good reason.
Thank you, Peggy. Peggy dropped by and brought us some brownies, a big old plate full. I'm holding one up here in front of the camera. Oh, God, they're still warm and soft. Ooh, I can't wait to sink my...
Just like you,
here,
Chris.
Wait a minute. Oh, thank you. I was going to say the same thing about you. Oh, delicious.
The feeling is mutual.
Delicious. Are you want a bite?
No, I want my own.
Don't we all? Oh, gosh. Nirvana. That is a good brownie. Thank you, Peggy. I invited her in, but she had her puppy dog with her. So.
Oh.
All right, but maybe she'll join us for dinner Thursday. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. That's right, we're on our three-hour classic tour, brownies and all. And... And you invited to join us by giving us a call at 407-774-8255. Okay, Kathy Santomassino has joined me, Christopher Hart, in the Relax and Comfort studio. And Jeff's, of course, still on the bridge. All right. Once again, thanks for watching as well on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. And do we have a new perv of the day today?
It's been a busy week, Chris.
Has it?
Yesterday, Les Moonves, the CEO of CBS News, has half a dozen women that claim a few years ago he was inappropriate in his sexual advances. And the day before that, we had a cardinal from the Catholic Church who was...
Theodore McCarrick, Washington, D.C. Cardinal McCarrick was drummed out of the College of Cardinals.
Yes.
I wonder if you remember that TV show, was it called Branded, with Connors?
Mike Connors.
The guy that was in Rifleman.
Oh, Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors, right. He played this army guy who was, they thought he was a traitor. He actually did something right, but so they ripped his things off his uniform and took a sword and broke it. So I wonder if they like do that with a cardinal, right? Like rip his head off his hat off his head and stomp on it or something like that.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know what they do to men of the cloth, but I think it's such a, scarlet letter when you do that.
Well,
I can only imagine that the Pope would be very, very upset.
Well, this Pope has made it a bit of a thing of his, no pun intended, to sort of root out this sort of thing and get these folks out of the church. The cardinal has been relieved of his. He was removed from what they call the College of Cardinals, and he will now face a canonical trial, and may be removed from the priesthood altogether. I guess
that's my argument, Chris, why priests should be allowed to marry.
Well, this was a situation where he was evidently or supposedly he's been alleged to have been messing around with altar boys, and that's usually been the case with these priests, is it happened, you know, in the parish there with altar boys. And, you know, the altar boys, I guess one of their duties was to help the priest, you know, put his raiments and stuff on. And, anyway.
And I guess the priests are taking the arraignments off of the altar boys.
Evidently. All right, so anyway, all that stuff is on our Facebook page, American Adversaries. Okay, so I've been talking about this catch-22 that the media and the liberals have themselves caught up in because they cannot accept the results for their own reasons. They just cannot. And it's beyond being a choice. They no longer really even have a choice in it. For their own journalistic lives, they have to continue this lie. And so they're caught up in this catch-22 where they have this fake news story about President Trump and collusion, and they can't get away from it. And they have to continue to beat that drum, or perhaps find a new reason why they were so wrong, and in fact why they were correct and we were somehow wrong. But the Russia collusion one is a very convenient one. By the way, much ado was made about a question that was asked to President Trump after Helsinki, a day or two after. He was in the cabinet room, and as they were ushering the reporters out of the room, one of them shouted a question: do you think the Russians are still doing it, still tampering? And the president was heard saying no, and the White House was, well, he was talking about, you know, he wasn't taking any questions, he was saying no questions. But in fact, perhaps if he hadn't been saying no to questions, maybe if he was answering the question directly, he was right. It came out today that evidently the Russians are not spending a lot of time poking around and trying to do the things that they did before. Evidently, what they're doing now is more akin to messing around with our electrical grid, which I know is something that you've talked about.
And that's very worrisome. That's what I'm really concerned about is how vulnerable our electrical grid is. There's only two states that have their own independent grid, and they're kind of protected from the grid system going down.
That's Texas and Alaska.
Alaska, correct. Yeah. So ours is very vulnerable, and I think
I presume Hawaii, too, but don't
well,
know.
Well, might be. But the hackers, I mean, they try these algorithms every day, and It's not just the Russians. It's the Chinese as well that are tapping into it.
Yeah, the president's been quite correct about all of this. But the media can't go with the true story because they're so caught up in their fake news story, you see?
Yeah.
And this is the catch-22 they're caught up in now. They have promoted this lie, this fake news, this witch hunt, as the president calls it, for so much, and now they got so much invested in this. This is a sort of a replay of the campaign. They had so much of their credibility invested in Hillary Clinton winning. When she didn't win, they couldn't accept the results.
Yeah.
So now they have put so much into this fake news story, they can't accept that it's a loser. You see? It's a loser just as big as she was, but they are so invested in it, they cannot turn away from it. And if they do, their credibility goes with them. So now they really have themselves boxed in.
And I think Trump derangement syndrome is going to be in Webster's Abridged Dictionary as an actual mental disorder.
It could very well possibly be. And this is the problem they have, is that they've strayed so far from reality that they are no longer capable of reporting it. And so it comes across as this derangement, when in fact, you know, they're caught up in their lies. It's, oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive.
But doesn't it make them look so foolish?
That's the whole point. That's the catch-22. The catch-22 is the harder they push this, the more absurd it appears. And yet, because they have so much invested in it, they can't turn away from it. You know, they desperately need something big to happen that they could turn away from this, but even then they can't. Because as Chuck Todd admitted to this morning, he said, we will be fighting the results of the 2016 election for the rest of our lives. And I do believe he meant that literally. They will be fighting the fact that President Trump won legitimately. He won, but it wasn't legitimate. That's what they're saying here, you see.
They want to go to the popular vote as opposed to the electoral college.
Yeah, in the future, yes. But this, in their minds, even with the electoral college, shouldn't have turned out this way.
Well, Mitt Romney would have won if that were the case when he was running against Obama, because he won the popular vote.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
No, he did not. No. No, Obama won the popular vote. He creamed Romney. But I think you're yet missing the point here. And the point is, they can't accept the fact that they were so wrong, so they have to call into question the election itself. And that's where they are caught in this box, you see, because the election was, in fact, fair and square. And that the Russians, what they were attempting to do, they have been successful because of this very thing that the media has done. They took a fake story that the Russians helped produce, granted, simply by doing what they were doing, and they have made this fake news story and this little bit of tampering by the Russians into this huge mountain. It's like they took a little anthill and made it into Mount Everest. And yet it's kind of like a magic trick, because it's not really Mount Everest. It's still really just a little anthill. But because of smoke and mirrors and the illusions that they are able to create through their lens that we watch television through, they make that little anthill look like Mount Everest. And sure enough, if you are good enough with a camera and know how to use that camera, you can take a little pile of dirt and make it look like a huge mountain. It's all in trick photography.
Right.
They are engaging in trick photography on a journalistic scale.
Or optical illusion.
Yeah. Right.
Because they had not planned on Hillary not winning.
Exactly.
So they had no plan B.
Right.
So instead of being proactive, they became reactive.
Right.
And that's the problem they're having.
And that's where they're stuck.
It's hard to put the genie back into the bottle. Now, they're going to have to somehow walk back this if they want any credibility, but...
Well, that's the problem.
See, they can do it.
That's the catch-22. That's the catch-22. They have got themselves squarely in this position where they can't walk it back.
Mm-hmm.
because then they're shot. Their credibility. Well, why did you do all this? What do you mean? You knew this was a fake story. You see, they have got to forge ahead with this and try to build a lie into a reality.
And you know, Chris, that's why they need Mueller.
Because that's part
he's perpetuating the myth.
Exactly.
And without him, they have no storyline, really.
That's exactly right. Because it's all parlaying off of him. You see, like this, the Cohen thing and the Maria Butina thing. What's Mueller going to make out of this? What can Mueller do with this? Well, Cohen's now turning against Trump. What can Mueller do? You know, you're right. It's all revolving around him. He's a key part of the puzzle, and that makes him a useful idiot.
And so is Rosenstein, if you think about it.
Exactly. That makes them all a bunch of useful idiots. Now, in their own minds, I'm convinced that they think they're doing the right thing, and these dastardly Russians and Boris and Natasha were really, you know, about to bring the American system down, and if we don't do everything we can, they're going to bring it down. But in the process of doing that, they themselves are putting our system in jeopardy. They don't understand that sometimes you've got to look at the Russians and laugh at them. And this is why I think actually Barack Obama had the right approach in 2016. It was like, really? 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 You think they're going to mess with our system? Really? Come on. That was his approach, and I think it was the appropriate approach.
And it's funny that he said, elections have consequences.
Yeah, he had said that prior to that. And that's, once again, that's why they're trying to undermine this election, is because they're trying to undermine any kind of mandate that Trump would have to produce consequences. Well, unfortunately, he's producing them in spite of them. All right, we've got to take a break. We come back on the other side. We'll continue the conversation. And government shutdown? Well, the president says he might want to do that. We'll talk about that on the other side. And the ideal environment as well. Now that mixes in with the Catch-22. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
All aboard!
It is a crazy train, but we're here to help you depart that thing. Oh, these brownies, they just melt in your mouth. Oh, gosh, they are delicious. Thanks again, Peggy. All right, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. So the media is convinced that the Democrats are in an ideal position to retake the House. And the possibility is certainly distinctly there. And a lot of it's going to have to do on who has more enthusiasm on one side or the other. We'll see how the middle breaks. But the media is going to be in an all-out push to make sure that their lie is perpetuated. And then you got the election's coming up with there's a budget bill that has to be passed. Now, Friday, Mitch McConnell was asked if there was going to be funding in this next budget bill for the wall. And the budget bill has to be passed. Something has to be passed, either a full budget bill or a continuing resolution by September the 30th. The government will shut down starting the next day, the beginning of the fiscal year, they call it. And so McConnell is out there. No, you know, we're going to focus on just getting the budget passed and get on to the election, and probably not going to be funding the wall. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And, of course, the president wants his wall funded. He was mad that it wasn't funded in that big, huge bill that they passed and he signed just a couple of months ago. He said at the time, if there's not funding for the wall in it the next time around, we might just shut the government down. In a tweet today, he reiterated that stance and is calling on Mitch McConnell to go to the what's called the nuclear option in the Senate for the budget bill. And what he means by that is, because the Republicans have used up their budget reconciliation passes for this year, I'll call them passes, because what the budget reconciliation process did, if you remember, is it allowed them to pass these things with 51 votes, not 60. So there was no cloture involved, no quote-unquote filibuster, which is actually the cloture vote. But they can't do that. They've already used them up. They wasted one, the first one, and then they used the second one on that huge omnibus spending bill. So they can't use the budget reconciliation process this time, so they have to get 60 votes to pass a budget or a continuing resolution, whichever the case may be. The president is saying, hey, just change the rules so all you need is 51 votes. Of course, we know Mitch McConnell is not going to do that. And so he is now left being hogtied by the Democrats, who are not going to, none of them are going to, especially in an election year, and when they're trying to make an immigration one of the big issues, none of them are going to come on board in order to pass a budget bill with funding for a wall in it. So it's going to set up an interesting fight this fall to see what happens. The government being shut down is the veto power, the threat that the president holds, of course. And but we will see if they can even pass anything at all. It may very well be that the Democrat demands are such that they force the Republicans to either acquiesce to their demands or shut the government down. This is a problem that Mitch McConnell now finds himself in, is that he has the Democrats holding a powerful hand going into this budget negotiation. And if they part with the president, you know, that mucks up the election season. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. But the Democrats are in an ideal environment. With all of this going on, with the exception of the economy being so very good, the Democrats see themselves in what they call an ideal environment to at least take back the House. Now, having said all of that, if we can prevent that from happening, if we can help the president actually increase his number in the Senate, hold on to the House, if not gain seats, at least hold on and not lose many, so that the power is still firmly in Republicans' hands in the House of Representatives, the Democrats will be in a position where they will have to re-examine themselves. Being that they would be an ideal environment, of course, they could always resort again to those dastardly Russians did it again.
Yeah, but there's so much infighting within the Democratic Party that I think with what you're saying, part of it I agree with, part of it I don't. I think the Democrats are having not only an identity crisis, they don't have a viable candidate to run in 2020. And I think even if they do take those extra seats in the Senate, I don't think they're going to hold on to them very long, because there's so much.
You mean in the House?
I mean in the House.
Yeah.
There's so much static within the party.
Well, see, that's what I was leading to. You see, on the one hand, you have their pollsters and analysts telling them, you're in an ideal position now to retake the House, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they are going through, there is all this turmoil. There is really not much turmoil in the Republican Party. If you're not with Trump, you're considered the outsider, okay? It's Trump has solidified the Republican Party.
However, Paul Ryan has created such a conflict.
Yeah, but see, he's the outsider when he does that. You see, he's not pulling people away from Trump. The problem the Democrats have is you have the far left, you have the moderates, and then you have the old traditional few left Democrats of the old era around, and they are not aligned behind a leader, as you said. They are not aligned behind an agenda. They're all over the place. And so, in a way, they're ripe to be beaten. And not just beaten, but if we can beat them this fall, and by what I mean by beat them is pick up seats in the Senate and hold on to the House, it will cause an absolute all-out war within the Democrat Party. And you will have the old guard, which would include people like Joe Biden and, to a lesser extent, Elizabeth Warren, but they would be out there sort of calling for moderation, let's get back to our roots kind of thing. And then you're going to have that far left wing going, no, you should have gone with us. You're not going far enough. So the point I'm trying to make here is we can really make this catch-22 these folks are caught up in really, really, shall we say, negatively affect their chances at the polls. But once again, you got to get up and get out and make it happen.
I think what's going to help, Chris, is the walkaway movement. As you've seen, a lot of people are bailing. They're leaving the Democratic Party, and they're switching sides, so to speak. There's a lot of minorities that have been sold down the river by the Democratic Party, the DNC.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a lot of gays, transgender minorities, Hispanics, blacks, that are realizing this party has just been a pipe dream. It's been, like you said, an optical illusion, a shell game, whatever you want to call it. They've been conned. And now they see what Trump is doing with the economy and the percentage of people that are working. Historically, the highest growth rate as far as employment since World War II.
And here lies the opportunity, because a lot of those folks are not going to come out and vote in the fall. They're not. They're not going to go vote for Trump, but they're not going to go vote for the Democrat either. So that means it's going to get down to the most ardent supporters of the president versus the most ardent supporters of his opposition. And it's going to be those numbers is what's going to determine this election. Because in the middle, you're going to have, you know, you're going to have them on both sides, maybe favoring the Democrats a little bit more. But that can be negated by Trump's base getting out and supporting him in a year where a lot of people don't normally get out and do it.
What's the popularity numbers with the independents right now where Trump's concerned? Do you know?
He's a little bit more underwater than his overall numbers, but he's more popular now amongst them than he was when he was elected.
Compared to Obama, do you know what the numbers are?
Not off the top of my head. But once again, this election is going to be about the base. Which base gets out in bigger numbers? That's what's going to determine what happens this fall. That's why it's all in our hands. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A Northern California sheriff says that a sixth person has died in a raging wildfire that has destroyed more than 500 buildings. Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basenko said Sunday that the remains were found within the boundary of the car fire near Redding, north of San Francisco. He said that the victim, who was not identified, did not evacuate despite receiving an evacuation warning. Basenko says that the sheriff's department has seven outstanding missing persons reports. The average price of regular grade gasoline in the U.S. fell 3 cents over the past 2 weeks to $2.91 a gallon. Oil analyst Trilby Lundberg says prices at the pump were much cheaper last July. And fire officials in Greece have raised the death toll from a wildfire there that has raged through a coastal area east of Athens to 91. More details at srnnews.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, those brownies are delicious. Thanks, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy.
All right. And 407-774-8255 is the number for the Relax and Comfort Studios. Kathy Santomassino and myself, Christopher Hart, here tonight. Aubrey's out. The firm foundation of the American Adversaries is giving away one of his daughters this weekend, and his middle-aged daughter. And so we wish them the best of luck. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. We're halfway in, halfway to go. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, you got Armed American Radio, who follows us up. Mark Walters and his great gang will take you live until 11 o'clock tonight. A lot of great radio yet to go here tonight. Once again, the president in Tampa Tuesday. And don't know if he's going to have Ron DeSantis there with him. You know, he's endorsed him for governor.
I bet he will.
If DeSantis has any sense, he'll be there. The House has gone on recess. The Senate is they're going to stay there for a couple more weeks, trying to wrap up some loose ends. Of course, they have a Supreme Court justice that they're working on. He will meet tomorrow for the first time with a Democrat senator. Robert Menendez is going to be the first one to talk with, first from the Democrat side of the aisle, to talk with Brett Kavanaugh nominee. And that appears, once again, to be going smoothly. Smoothly as possible, with the Democrats trying to put up any resistance that they can. And they are, however, boxed in. And as long as there's not some major scandal or something, then it doesn't appear as though there's going to be one with this guy, that it will happen prior to the election. Probably not in August, however. They will take a bit of a recess and then come back, and they're going to have to deal with that budget thing and Kavanaugh all at the same time, evidently. So that will all should make for a very exciting September. And they usually come back that week after Labor Day. So it'll be an interesting run-up to the election, no doubt. That's for sure. The president, I said, is going to be in Tampa Tuesday. You can still get tickets, and it's a first-come, first-serve, so even if they've already given out lots of tickets, it doesn't mean you're going to get in. You still have to get there early. The doors are going to open at 4 o'clock. The event is scheduled to begin at 7 o'clock, and it is at the Tampa Fairgrounds on the west side of Tampa there in one of the exhibit halls. And you can go to DonaldJTrump.com to get some tickets. Once again, if you're going to go, get there early, because I'm sure there are going to be lots of people who will go who won't be able to get in. And we'll probably still hang around and have fun, but they won't be able to get into the venue itself. That's Donald Trump or DonaldJTrump.com. All right, so the president will be here. He'll be all over the country campaigning hard. It will be pretty much a referendum on the president. He is going to make it so. And he's going to, once again, continue to remind people about the economy. And the Democrats are going to try to continue to make him look somehow bad, whatever the de jure of the week happens to be. And we'll see how that plays out. But once again, they're caught in this catch-22 that the more they pound on him, the more it's going to generate enthusiasm amongst his base, and we're going to be here to make sure it does, so that people get out and support this president and what he's trying to do. And it would be the best thing to happen to the Democrats would be to lose again. And then I say again in 2020. But certainly they need a dose of reality right now. The Democrat Party is not dealing in the real world. When you hear their leadership criticizing the tax plan, calling it crumbs and things like that, this is a party that is not in touch with the American people.
No, and a lot of them are just so ignorant that Congresswoman who won in New York, the 28-year-old Ocasio.
Well, she's not a congresswoman yet.
Well, the nominee.
Yeah.
She talks so bizarre. And if you get snippets of all the interviews they do between her, Elizabeth Warren, and Nancy Pelosi, it's a great campaign ad to do those little vignettes of each of them in interviews, because they really look like they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. The Ocasio wing of the Democrat Party, the Bernie Sanders wing, is one of the more vocal wings. They're kind of like the Freedom Caucus in the Republican side of the House. Okay, the Freedom Caucus being the more right wing group in the House of Representatives, and that's their sort of version of it, and it's got some legs.
But who's going to sign up for higher taxes? Americans are thriving right now. Their platform is higher taxes.
Yep.
Who's going to vote for that? What are we, crazy?
There will be some people who will vote for that. And it's all how they frame the argument. See, the way they're trying to frame the argument is they want to raise taxes on the rich. And that always sells well amongst a certain constituency out there. But it is, once again, it's up against reality. And the reality is that people are feeling the effects of the tax cut. They are feeling the effects of an improved economy. They are feeling these things, and they like it. And they, it's a situation where, once again, the left has got themselves in a catch-22.
And Chris, let's face
it. Let me finish. Where if they, they're trying to be both a populist. Trying to have both a populist message and this more narrow socialist message, right, all at the same time. And it's a bit like oil and water. You know, they don't work. They don't mix well. But if you put them both on your salad, maybe you'll be okay with it. So it is a line that they have been able to negotiate before, but in the past they've never been up against a politician like Donald Trump. Now, you were
going to
say.
I was going to say you have the elitists on the left, the multimillionaires like Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they all are worth millions, telling us we don't deserve our crumbs.
Right.
And when you hear that argument, Americans should be downright angry and insulted that they are preaching to us that we don't deserve what they have. They only deserve what they have.
And that's why I say they're caught in this sort of catch-22, because they feel compelled to say that. And yet it does make a lot of people out there angry.
I'm insulted.
Well, yeah, but you already voted for Trump. The
right.
question is,
that's why.
Amongst people who did not vote for him before, how do they feel about that?
They want him to be unemployed.
Right. And they're also looking at going after certain demographic groups that they think that they can weaken the president by going after these groups, minorities. They still think they can go after them, and women. And Fox just showed a poll here earlier where Trump's approval rating amongst women is lower than it is overall. And so,
what poll was it though?
Well, it was a Quinnipiac poll. But once again, it was the same thing during the election year. As I said, we're seeing sort of the same. We're seeing a replay of 2016, where the Democrats are supposed to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is there going to be reaction this time if they don't win? You see? And that's the position I want to put them in.
Right.
I want to find out what that reaction is going to be, because that will mean that we supported the president and he is more powerful than ever. You see? And then they're going to have their day of reckoning, which I think would be good for their party. And they need to have a day of reckoning, just like the Republicans had their day of reckoning. And the day of reckoning for the Republicans was the 2015-16 presidential primary. That was our day of reckoning. That's when Republicans said, we don't want to hear all the flowery words anymore. We want results. So we're going to elect a man who looks like he can get us some results.
Yes.
And if you talk to these pollsters, when they talk to people, there was this CBS pollster talking this morning. He says, I interviewed a woman. She was a Democrat. She voted for Trump. She says, I don't like the way he does things, but I like the results that he gets. And
exactly.
That's why I'll vote for him again.
He's a man of action.
Exactly. And so that has unified the Republican Party behind that, you see. And the Democrats don't have that right now.
And they keep picking him apart and talking about his love life and his dalliances with all these women. And you know what? In the scheme of things, we don't care. Because as a woman, I know men who are powerful and alpha males are going to have quite a few women in their lives. Do I agree with it? No. Are there indiscretions? Sure, there are. But I guarantee you, match a Democrat of his stature and probe into his past, and I guarantee you, perfect example, Les Moonves with CBS News. He's a titan in media. And all of a sudden, all these women are coming out of the woodwork. Did any of the mainstream media channels harp on it?
Well, it may have something to do with a big deal that is getting ready to be done where CBS is trying to be bought out. It has to do with Redstone daughter and all that.
Right.
We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping?
Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand?
For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed.
Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in comfort. Family owned and operated over 50 years. Has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
This coming fall, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you being out there listening to us. Can you believe Michael Jackson? He's been dead like 8 years now.
Has it been that long?
I think it was in, the year we started this show, 2010.
Wow, you're right.
Yeah, summer of 2010. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You got Kathy Santomassino and myself, Christopher Hart, here. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let's take Don's phone call. Don, thank you for waiting through that break. Appreciate you calling there. Go ahead.
Okay, I was just calling to express amazement that you've been on the air for 8 years, and we've been listening for 8 years.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, virtually every night.
Well, I thank you. That's very humbling because, as I've said so many times, you know, the most precious thing we have in this life is time itself. So, you know, the fact that you spend so much of your time, choose to spend it listening to our show, I can't thank you enough, Don. I really appreciate that.
And I was in the media for a number of years, and I know the risk that you took to put it all on the line to get yourself on the air.
Well, it's been an effort, that's for sure. But I tell you what, this will always be, you know, my greatest achievement in this life. That's for sure. So I have no regrets whatsoever. Been a little hardship along the way, but hey, you know, the best things in life don't come easy, right? So
you can do what you want to do.
Yep, that's
follow
it.
Your passion.
That's it. That's it,
and
brother.
I want to, particularly this evening, Kathy Santomassino is getting a lot of airtime, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's time that women got some airtime. Don't you agree, Dawn? Yeah, I'm the token female, but
they have started something here.
Yeah, it's a symbiotic relationship, you know. We're better together than we are apart.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know, Kathy does a lot of the work. She does most of all of the work behind the scenes, having to do with the keeping the Facebook page up and going, and the business end of it, helping out with that sort of thing. And so she does a lot of stuff that never makes it onto the show, which makes the show work. So,
My wife and I have been married for 62 years, and if she didn't back me up 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, we would never have made it.
Wow. Congratulations.
So yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to you on that. That is a great achievement.
That's a milestone.
Yeah.
Kathy, I wanted to ask you, I don't quite understand your everyday career. What is that?
I'm a risk management consultant. I'll be celebrating 25 years next January.
On your own?
On my own, self-employed. What I do is I work with insurance companies, and we try to better the workplace of their clients by putting together the right hiring practices and giving them incentives for hiring the right people. And what we do is we do background checks, safety programs, drug-free workplace, drug testing, substance abuse prevention. And I thought it was going to be a five-year gig, and I'm still talking about it after 24 years.
Man, I wish I was still in the workforce. I'd come over and apply for a job. It'd be right down my alley.
Well, I have a lot of great clients here in Orlando, and a lot of them listen to the radio show. So this is kind of my, my part-time gig,
yeah,
for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I've always sort of had this desire. You're going to laugh when you hear this. I've always wanted to be a comedy writer or do something in comedy because I think there aren't enough funny women, women with a really good sense of humor that can hold up to a guy that's their equal, where a guy can appreciate their humor but not be challenged by it, I guess. Does that make sense? And like Chris, he's very strong, very willful, and I think he appreciates having a woman who's independent, strong, and has her own independent thinking, whereas a lot of men, they don't appreciate that in a woman, you know?
I think
if they bring in still warm brownies,
oh, gosh.
I'll tell you what, buddy. That's all right. That's all right by me. And I think she just, in a polite way, said I was stubborn.
Yes, very stubborn. Yeah.
I get that from my mom's side of the family.
I believe it.
All right, Don. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Don, for calling. Yeah.
And thank you for all the time you're spending with us. That is...
Really enjoy it.
That is...
And tell your wife hello from us, too.
Please do. Absolutely.
She's listening.
Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you both so much. All right. Good night. Good night. It's really humbling that you folks would choose to spend your time with us. And that's why we work hard to make it worth your while. And every night's a challenge, but it's fun. And I see we made Facebook mad by playing just a little too much of Michael Jackson's Thriller there.
Oh,
so
no.
they have pulled us down. I'll have to during the break.
They do that. Did you know Google Analytics, if they hear a song? It's a song that's copyrighted. They pull your feed.
Yeah, it is. It has to do with royalties, and they can be responsible as well.
Right.
We're allowed a certain amount of time to use a tune, but they seem to be more strict about it. That's okay. That's all right. But Facebook and Twitter, they're facing their own. They're having their own sort of midlife crises,
yes,
here, or crises of sorts.
All out.
Because their business models are based on more and more people participating, and yet their business models also rely on those people allowing them to use every bit of data they gather about the users. And the more and more people find out about that, the less they like it. And so, and plus you have sort of the law of just demand anyway. I'm not going to call them pyramid schemes, but there is sort of a number where you have diminishing returns. In other words, there's only so many people in the world.
Right.
So how many people can be on Facebook? So there will be a certain number that will be its maximum number, and it will not be able to exceed that.
And there may be a competitor. Isn't it about that time for another type of a platform in social media kind of rise from obsolescence and come into the Facebook arena?
You do have some competitors out there. Pinterest and Instagram?
Yeah, but
Instagram,
they're not really in the
stuff.
Same format.
And it's because it's going to be hard to duplicate
that.
There's
some small ones, but yeah, you've probably never heard of them.
Right. But as I said, that they're facing some economic realities and user realities that they're going to have to make some tough choices going forward, and it may definitely affect their bottom line. And
the censoring
yeah,
is not right either.
Then you have that. You have definitely that. Now, they claim that their algorithms are independent, but of course we know these things. An algorithm is a computer program. I mean, well, whoever came up with the word, you know, algorithm? I guess it's supposed to sound more, you know, highfalutin or something.
No, it's computer. It's all about software.
Exactly. They're writing software. They're writing programs for a computer, mm-hmm. which means they have their input into the program. And so if you have a bunch of liberals writing the algorithms, then they are going to have that bent to them. It's a human thing.
Yeah, but you know, artificial intelligence is very frightening. AI, they're training computers now to be able to compose music. I don't know if you watch CBS This Morning every Sunday like I do, and they had a piece today about composers and the effort it takes to do a composition for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the scene of the movie, you want a little more drama in the piece you're writing. They're training computers to take all of the music that was ever written and pick apart certain compositions by themselves without any human assistance, and they can create like a piece of music. That is bizarre.
It is, but it's not the human creative process.
No, but it's still being done by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, but it will always be. It will always have that that element of artificiality to it. It cannot. The human mind is not a machine. It is tied up with your soul, your spirit. It is somehow tied in with the overall creator and the creative spirit. A machine is not. A machine still can only do calculations. And it is calculations that are pre-programmed, that are built on, that we call artificial intelligence. But it is not intelligence in the sense that a human being has intelligence, because with a human's intelligence, you have intuition, you have instinct, you have things that
creativity.
And that are not logical or reasonable. So, you know.
But isn't it frightening when you think about what computers are able to do versus what they were able to do 20 years ago?
To me, what's frightening is not the machine, it's how much we rely on the machines.
Right.
You see, and therein lies the danger, is that with this so-called artificial intelligence, we will become even more reliant on the machine. And that makes us much more vulnerable to attack, to just losing, our own souls. And it's detrimental to the human spirit. So it is not so much the machine, it's how much are we going to rely on these things. And with economic decisions being made politically, oftentimes they lend themselves to the technological solution. Like, say, a $15 minimum wage, it becomes far more sensible to have a technological solution rather than pay $15 minimum wage. So at McDonald's now, when you go into McDonald's, especially the ones that have been refurbished or being rebuilt, you will not be greeted at the counter. You will walk up to a kiosk.
Not like a vending machine.
Right. And so they'll need less employees at McDonald's. Now, is that a good thing? I don't think so. Anyway, we got to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have our diva from California, Sunny, join us as well. You're listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show. We'll be right back.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's
in a time when all seemed lost, a voice rose from the wilderness, a voice rooted in our unique form of government. A confident voice filled with hope and inspiration that grows louder and louder while articulating the truth for all to hear. It is the voice to be reckoned with. It is the American Adversaries Radio Show, featuring your host, political scholar and philosopher Christopher Hart. Co-host, South African-American patriot Aubrey Kahn. News Talk divas Kathy Santomassino and Patricia Summerlin. And more. Now, sit back and enjoy the American Adversaries.
We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life. This is
hope you'll take it. That is us, at least for another hour tonight. Thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries Radio Show. Coming to you live on our Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour. Can you believe we're already in hour 3? Thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. We really do appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. We are coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. I am Christopher Hart. Kathy Santomassino is with us tonight. Once again, Aubrey's out tonight. He'll be back next week. Jeff is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number, and I got his backup on Facebook page. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. It is time now to go to our gorgeous lady of wrestling. That'd be Sunny, our California girl. How you doing, Sunny?
Hi, Chris. I'm not so good. I was having a great day and, you know, working hard. I just got back and I get slammed with unfortunate, sad news that we lost two more greats in the wrestling, in our wrestling family. And Brian Lawler, Christopher, let's say, is a friend of mine. And I talk to him quite often.
Wow.
And I'm very saddened by this. Yeah, it hurts. It's like, the heck? 46 years old.
He was only 46.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, we're not talking the king. We're not talking Daddy Lawler.
Jerry, yeah.
Jerry, the King Lawler. You know, my condolence to him and the family, by the way. Absolutely. This is just a shock. It's a shock. Apparent suicide.
Oh, I was going to ask what it was. Oh, that is such a shame.
Sorry,
yeah,
Sonny.
Yeah, great talent.
Yeah. And, you know, Jerry the King himself was just a big, huge part of the professional wrestling story. You hate to see this sort of thing happen. And, boy, our condolences to you and his family and all his friends and people in the industry.
Yeah, they're dropping. And Nikolai Volkov at 70. This means 13 have passed away. The 350 Days, the movie, 13 of the legends are gone within 5 years.
You know, and Nikolai, he used to wrestle down here in the championship wrestling of Florida circuit, and I'd seen him wrestle numerous times. And he always played the great villain, the Russian villain, and, you know, swinging that Russian flag around. And he had some epic battles with Dusty Rhodes and others back in that day.
And he wrestled Brian Blair.
He did. That's right.
Yes. Yeah,
wow.
And it's heartbreaking. I always think about, you know, because it's our wrestling family. We're very close. And even though some of us have not met some of the others, it's still part of, like, our family, you know, and that's how close it is. And it hits home because it's a scary thought because, you know, the injuries and everything else that happens in our business. And to know, we're like, uh-oh, which one's next? And I sure hope it's none of my GLOW sisters because I love my GLOW family, you know. And, it hits home.
Yeah. And, you know, the king himself had suffered a heart attack on air.
Yes.
I think it was a Raw presentation show with the WWE. And it was strange because the night that it happened, they didn't make a big deal out of it on the air. They basically went silent and just showed the match in the ring, and you didn't have a lot of any talk from the announcers, and didn't really know what was going on, but he had suffered a heart attack right there during the broadcast and had recovered and
he did great.
Yeah.
His recovery. Now, this has got to be a shock, and it's going to be hard because they were very close, and of course, we're both father and son in WWE. Very good workers in the business. And this is Nikolai. It's like, wow. Not good.
Yep. Two superstars now with the stars.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But prayers and condolences to the families.
Absolutely.
I will find out more once I have some time to get into it here.
Yeah.
It's just one of those days for me. It was one of those fast-paced days, and we were busy over there at the restaurant at Black Coffee Draft House, where I'm at now. And great food, great coffees, nitro-brewed, air-roasted, one of the best coffees.
Boy. We're eating brownies tonight, and it sounds like they would go well with that, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, and by the way, we found out the details while we're on the subject of Brickhouse Brown, that he had actually been pronounced dead And right. they had pulled the sheet up over his head, and his mother was...
And everything, yep.
And she was sitting there crying, basically saying goodbye to her son, and she falls asleep, and then she's woken by his voice saying, "Mom, I'm hungry."
Yes, exactly. Yes. Isn't that a miracle? So anybody out there who's fighting stage four or three or two, whatever, with the hopes, never give up, because there is miracles. And this was one of those witnessed miracles. And we're rooting for Brickhouse Brown, because I was there watching his speech at the CAC Cauliflower Alley reunion. And it was such a heart. I mean, there was no dry eye in there. At all,
right.
Trust me. And he got the Courageous Award. It was something. Brian was amazing. And I spoke to Brian when this was released, just to verify before I put it on Facebook, because I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wait a minute. One minute he's passed, and the next minute he's alive. And Brian said yes. So once Brian told me, then I went ahead and put it out there.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing,
well,
yeah.
But we're sad to hear about Nikolai Volkov, and certainly Brian Lawler. That's much
too young, too soon, and was a happy, happy guy, and just a great talent, handsome. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Yep.
All right. Let's, the fires out there. I know several people have been killed, evidently a grandmother or a great-grandmother and two little children.
Five killed in the car fire, what we C-A-R-R fire, which is in Redding, California. It's a heart-wrenching fire. We've had quite a few. We were up to seven fires throughout California. And if anyone who knows California, every year we go through devastating fires, some in the same spots, ironically. But we've had arsonists.
I was going to ask. I thought I had heard reports that the several of these major fires were started by arsonists. Do they have any leads on?
Yes, they captured them.
Oh, they did.
And here's something that I just found out, that there was some actual firemen from the forestry, that actually set them to try to get some work, because they were laid off or they weren't getting enough work. They went out and set the fire.
Mm.
How about that one?
Yeah. It's a shame. I forget where it was, but there was a serial arsonist, I think it was in California, who kept setting fires, mostly in buildings, though. These were fires in buildings, and they couldn't figure out who it was, and it turned out it was a fire inspector. And he knew all the little tricks, and he just was somehow fascinated by it. And he became, he was a serial arsonist, and he couldn't control himself.
Yeah.
It's a shame when that happens, especially now that people have been killed, and I think something like 500 buildings have been destroyed in these fires, not to mention, the forest.
The devastation alone, it's just sad. And it's like a Hannibal character. Well, I guess they actually exist out there, Chris.
Yeah.
Ones that I don't want to run into, but I think it's the complex that gets higher than the God complex.
Yeah.
And there is only one God out there, everyone. You cannot be him. So
right.
Don't try.
That's it. A lot of people, assume that role, thinking that they can somehow do it, right? Let's talk a minute about Roseanne. She gave an interview the other night on Sean Hannity. She's having a hard time. You can tell she's having a hard time dealing with all of this.
Of course. I think she was misunderstood. I personally like Roseanne, like I said from the beginning. And boy, did I get crap on social media for it. But honestly, Roseanne is Roseanne. That is her. And honestly, if you look at Valerie, not to, say that what she said was wrong or right, but if you look at her, she looks white. She doesn't look, she doesn't look like a person of color, and she was from Iran, I guess. Roseanne was saying.
A lot of people said the same thing, that they didn't know that she had mixed race parents. Now, her parents are mixed race, kind of like Barack Obama, but I believe it was the other way around. I believe her mother was black and her father was white. She was born in Iran, but she was born of these American parents because they were over there on business. And that was where all the ties that eventually played out into that Iran deal started, was through Valerie Jarrett's family and her family ties from living in Iran when she was...
Iran, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And her father was a businessman who had business dealings over there. And one thing led to another. And then Roseanne was saying that, you know, her comments were not... She kept saying they weren't racist, they were political, that she was talking about this Iranian deal. She had read about Valerie Jarrett and her family. And by the way, I didn't know she had mixed parents.
I didn't either.
And yet I knew all of this other stuff about her life.
Right.
And, you know, I could tell that she's not Lily White, but she's more like a Filipino.
Listen, I'm olive complected, just like Roseanne said. She's olive complected. She goes, she's the same skin tone as I am, and she says, I had no idea she was African American, and you know, it was never meant to be racist. She goes, my deepest apologies. And she can only apologize so much.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, here's what I think it is that it wasn't so much that she attacked Valerie Jarrett. It's that she was a supporter of Donald Trump. hear me out, because I think she certainly would have caught flack, but she wouldn't have been in the position that she was in were it not for her support of Donald Trump. And what I mean by that is with this new TV show, its success, what it had been built around, what she was trying to do. And she was right to point out in the interview, she says, look at all the years and everything that I've done on TV goes against what they're saying about me, and yet they get away with saying this stuff about me. And so to me, it's because of her association, even loosely as it was, with President Trump that was really what motivated the people to bring her down. And so it's, you know, it's the old double standard, that's for sure. But now Kathy watched Roseanne, and what was your reaction?
I thought she looked like she was over-medicated. Her eyes were fluttering. She wasn't answering the questions. She kept going off on tangents. And then to add insult to injury, she tries to say how she felt so much remorse for what she said about Valerie Jarrett. And then she says, oh, by the way, you need to get a new haircut. So she just seemed so flighty and
she is
not really apologetic to me.
Well, she was Roseanne, and she did. One thing, Hannity kept dogging her, trying to get her to apologize and deal with it. And she finally looked at the camera and apologized. But then she went on to say, look, you know, it was never her intention. It wasn't supposed to be a racist remark. It was a political remark.
I thought it sounded racist.
Well, it did if you know the woman is black. If you think
exactly.
She's a white woman, what's racist about
like
it?
Most of us didn't.
Yeah, see, if she's not a black woman, that's not a racist comment. The only reason it's a racist comment is because Valerie Jarrett is, quote unquote, a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but Roseanne didn't know that.
We don't know that she didn't know that. That was her argument.
Okay. How many people that you know knew that Valerie Jarrett was black? You said you didn't know it.
I knew she was multi-ethnic.
You said you didn't know she was a black woman.
I don't think she's 100% black.
You said you didn't know she was a black woman,
right? Not 100%.
You didn't know she was a black woman, period, right?
Right.
Yeah, and
okay.
I didn't know. And
nobody knew.
And to add to it, and not to, you know, get on Roseanne's good side or anything, but honestly, just as a joke, if I was a comedian here and I wanted to poke fun at somebody, she does look like a Planet of the Apes person. Planet of the Apes are good looking. The movie series was huge. We all know Planet of the Apes. I was raised in it when I was a little girl.
Yeah, but the reference.
But it wasn't like, oh God, wow, that's horrible. You just, that's a Roseanne joke. Well, that's her.
And according to her, that was the reference was to. In the Planet of the Apes, you have these overlords that you're basically enslaved to. And once again, she was trying to make comments about Iran. Now, I think it would be tantamount to me trying to be Roseanne on her TV show as to what she was trying to do that night. She was trying that night to do what we do, and that is to be political analysts with a little bit of humor and a little bit of bite to it. But she doesn't know how.
She doesn't. Probably under the effects of also heavy medication, which she is on, because I understand that she's in a great deal of pain. She has some health issues, Roseanne Barr does. So she is under a lot of medications. Not to discount that makes it right or wrong again, but she is under a lot of medications. And,
well, I know.
But she could be over-medicating herself, and I know she smokes. So, obviously, she was nervous because of her eye movement. You could tell she's very nervous, and she was not prepared for the interview. Maybe she didn't have the questions before the interview.
Well,
I don't know. She didn't answer the questions appropriately.
I don't think that Sean Hannity wasn't asking very good questions, all right, to begin with. He kept going back to, don't you want to apologize? Wouldn't you apologize? What would you say to Valerie if she were here? You know, he just kept pushing that. They were obviously trying to get, you know, a big rating for the show or something like that from her. And and she kept saying, look, you know, I've been misunderstood. You know, I wasn't so great about how I put it, but everybody's misunderstood me. Nobody seems to want to hear my side of the story is what she was saying in her way.
In my opinion, I think they should have just had a quick interview with her. He did the whole show dedicated to her. And his show looked more like tabloid TV than it did Sean Hannity.
Because he kept going after...
He should have left well enough alone and done 15 minutes at the most.
He could have gone in different directions. But I tell you
exactly.
What, I think that the woman is under a great deal of stress. She may have some physical pain, but I think she has a great deal of mental anguish right now because of all of this. And it's sort of the similar situation with, you know, somebody who's falsely accused. And, I mean, what can you do if you're falsely accused?
And not to mention, listen, like I said, I was raised with her, you know, and a lot of the world was raised with Roseanne Barr show. She was one of the best strong female comedians ever. So for her to take this hit, of course it's affecting her.
Yeah,
this is affecting her in a big way.
This reminds me
out, which I don't foresee. By the way, none of my friends are watching it because guess what? She's not in it.
Right. Why would you watch it?
Yeah, this reminds me of the fallout with Paula Deen.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
It kind of, in a way. But the show will flop. But she's, you know, she feels like she can't understand why people who were her fans and know better will turn around and say these things about her. And this is why I think it has more to do with Trump than it does with her, is because you watched her show. You watch her show over the years. You're not gonna find any black jokes in there. And you know, you're gonna find someone who portrays tolerance and preaches that sort of thing throughout her show. And that's why she can't understand this.
And, you know, once you tweet, it's out there and you can't pull it back in. And I choose not to tweet. So for those people who tweet, remember what you say cannot be recovered. It's out there for public consumption and criticism. So just be careful what you say.
Yeah, but even then, if someone purposely misconstrues something you say,
that's true.
What can you do about it?
Mm-hmm.
All right,
that's
Sonny.
That's true. It's all the interpretation, and you can take 10 people in a room and ask a question, and they will take that question in their own way and answer it in their own version.
That's right.
So, again, a tweet can be under the assumption of each individual out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I agree with you, Chris. I think it has a lot to do with Trump because this is Hollywood. Hollywood is not a Trump supporter.
Right.
They are against her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, listen, once again, our deepest condolences on the loss of Brian Lawler, Nikolai, as well. But, you know, Brian being a personal friend of yours and the situation, really sadness in our hearts tonight for a couple of great wrestlers no longer with us.
Yeah, so, thank you. Gone too soon.
Absolutely.
And we pray that we all move forward with our aches and ills and pains in this world. And, you know, and also let's do a shout out for the firemen fighting on these battle lines of the crazy fires all over and in Greece.
Yeah.
What Greece is going through.
Yeah.
It's crazy right now. So we all need to, again, pull together and love one another, hug one another, say nice things to one another, and believe in God.
Amen.
And I'll leave you with that.
All right.
You guys.
Love you, too.
Have a wonderful week.
You too.
A sunny week.
You too. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
All
right. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break and come back with more of the American Adversaries radio show.
Hey, Central Florida, Dave Ramsey here. When you need advice on your taxes and want to work with someone who has the heart of a teacher, you need to see Larry Herring, CPA. He's one of our tax-endorsed local providers, and he's ready to talk with you about all your income tax needs. Larry Herring will help you manage your taxes just like any other expense. Take it from me, Larry is your guy. 407-647-7777 or at herringcpa.com.
All right, time to venture to the Twilight Zone. Here's some odd stories.
Well,
Kathy Santomassino.
If Roseanne Barr doesn't get you to the Twilight Zone, I'm sure going to try to tonight.
Huh.
Well, a former Florida State Trooper and current TV traffic news anchor warned drivers in the state that the viral Kiki Challenge could earn them citations totaling more than $1,000.
The what challenge?
The Kiki Challenge.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Well, the Kiki Challenge, if you haven't heard
now
of it.
Spell that.
K-E-K-E.
Okay, I thought it was K-I, never mind.
Okay. The Kiki Challenge, which went viral on social media, involves drivers jumping out of their moving cars to dance to Drake's In My Feelings while their moving vehicle rolls beside them. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Steve Monteiro, who is a former Florida Highway Patrol trooper who is now known as Traffic Safety Expert Trooper Steve on Orlando's WKMG-TV, said replicating the challenge could be both dangerous and costly. He said the citations that could come from a single attempt at the Kiki Challenge include no seatbelt, careless driving, impeding the flow of traffic, and reckless driving. He said serious charges could result from an attempt leading to injury or death, and said citations from a single incident could end up totaling more than $1,000. This is obviously a trend with teenagers and millennials, but what happened to driver training in public schools?
I saw one video of a guy, he jumped out of his car and was running along the side of it.
That's it.
And ran into a pole.
Okay.
Not the car. Him.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Not a smart thing to
Not
do, obviously.
Not a smart thing to
yes,
do.
No.
And did you hear about the bear that ended up in a suburban Colorado storm drain?
I saw it.
And was able to climb to freedom after workers removed a manhole cover? A Parks and Wildlife officer used a rubber bullet to haze the bear and encourage it to leave the area. The department said officials wanted to avoid having to tranquilize and relocate the bear, as that would be a strike against it and could lead it to being euthanized in the future. I didn't know that. Apparently, there's a three-strike rule with bears.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing had slipped into the storm drain.
Right.
And he couldn't get out, so they popped the manhole cover and sat, and sure enough, he pops his head up and he looks around, makes sure the coast is clear.
Smart
kinda like,
bear.
Kind of like that movie, The Great Escape,
yeah.
Right? You know, and he comes climbing out and turns around and hauls for the woods, and the guy shoots him in the butt with a rubber bullet.
Bears are so smart, aren't they?
Smarter than the average bear.
Well, an Arkansas woman's stolen cash was turned over to police with a letter of apology from the thief who took it from her wallet. Susan McNabb said she left her wallet and the $160 in cash it contained behind a Walmart store. And when she returned a short time later, the wallet was still there, but the cash was gone. McNabb reported the theft to the police department. Then McNabb got a call a day later from the police saying someone had come by the station and dropped off an envelope containing the $160 cash and a note which read, "To the lady that left her wallet at Walmart, please forgive me, as I always strive to have integrity And that day, I failed miserably, the note read. Police said the woman who brought in the envelope left without giving her name. McNabb said the woman's change of heart has inspired her to spend the money helping others. Isn't that a great story?
You might not want to leave your wallet behind a Walmart, though. That's for sure.
How do you lose a wallet anyway?
We'll be right back. That's easy. Leaving it somewhere, that's another thing.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump says that there are consequences when people cross our border illegally and says that many who do so are using children for their own sinister purposes. He also says that Congress must fix the dumbest and worst immigration laws anywhere in the world and urges voters to vote R in November. A Northern California sheriff says that a sixth person has died in a raging wildfire that has destroyed more than 500 buildings. Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basinko said Sunday that the remains were found within the boundary of the car fire near Redding, north of San Francisco. He said that the victim, who was not identified, did not evacuate despite receiving an evacuation warning. Basinko says the sheriff's department has seven outstanding missing persons reports. More details at srnnews.com.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself. At Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
What you're about to see is a matter of human record. Explain it, we cannot. Disprove it, we cannot. We simply invite you to explore with us the amazing world of the unknown, to take that one step beyond.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have gone into the Twilight Zone one step beyond.
with Kathy Santomassino and her odd stories.
Always one step beyond you, Chris.
That's right. You're listening to the American Adversaries. We're coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Don't forget, if you're in the need of a new automobile, a new pickup truck, a new van, a new SUV, check them out at Sutherland Nissan. At least give them a chance to put you behind the wheel of one of their great vehicles out there. Kathy drives a Nissan. Beautiful car.
I love my Maxima.
Oh, boy, that thing is just, it's ready for the Daytona 500.
It is so fast.
It is, and it clutches the road like a good old glove.
Yes, it does.
And Sutherland Nissan is located at East Colonial Drive and Chickasaw Trail. Their website is OrlandoNissan.com. That's OrlandoNissan.com. And virtually every week, they've got some kind of sale or special or something going on. It might apply to you that week. It may not. But if you go to OrlandoNissan.com, you can see what's going on a regular basis. And when you do stop by there to check out their Titan trucks, tell them the Titans of Talk Radio asked you to swing by. That'd be us, the American Adversaries. That's Sutherland Nissan, East Colonial Drive, and Chickasaw Trail, OrlandoNissan.com. And, of course, they sponsor our Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. All right.
Well, Larry Moore was asleep on his living room chair when a fire broke out in his home in Hutchinson, Kansas. The smoke detectors weren't in working order, and Moore figured he would have slept or kept sleeping if it wasn't for his pet dog, Lucifer.
Ha!
Moore said Lucifer jumped on his lap and woke him up to warn him of the fire. Moore said, "I don't think I would have made it, to be honest, because it just happened so fast. As you know, Chris, fires start quickly."
So Lucifer got him out of hell.
Lucifer the dog, right. Lucifer got him out of hell. Moore escaped the house with Lucifer and his other dog, but needed treatment for smoke inhalation. According to the Hutchinson Fire Department, the electrical fire was caused by improper extension cords. So listeners, make sure your extension cords are appropriately connected, because they will spark a fire if they're not.
And don't plug half a dozen of them into one outlet.
And that includes your computer.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
these
officials
can get very hot.
It really can. Officials at an Egyptian zoo are denying allegations that two zebras on display are in fact donkeys painted with black and white stripes.
The painted horse.
That's right. Mahmoud Sarhan snapped photos at the International Garden Municipal Park in Cairo after he noticed the two zebras on display appeared to be donkeys painted to look like zebras. The photos, which went viral, show the animal stripes appear to be smudging. A veterinarian who analyzed the photos said the coloring of the faces did not align with a normal zebra's appearance, and their stripes do not appear to be consistent. However, the zoo's director claims none of the animals at the facility are fraudulent. But back in 2013, a Chinese zoo came under fire when sharp-eyed visitors noticed an animal labeled as a lion was in fact just an especially fluffy dog. The People's Park of Luohe said the Tibetan Mastiff was a temporary replacement for the zoo's real lion, which was away at a breeding facility at the time.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yes, these donkeys, they do appear to be unusual, shall we say, or zebras or whatever they are.
A hybrid version of the real thing, right?
What I want to see is how they can come up with a fake zebra.
I mean
giraffe.
I'm sure they'll think of it.
Aye.
Well, a Japanese startup is offering an unusual service for newlyweds, and this is to celebrate their love. It's launching wedding plaques into space. Warp Space, a firm founded by faculty members from the University of Sabuka, is offering a service that will print titanium plaques with the names of the newlyweds and load them onto a series of small cubes that each hold a few hundred of the plaques. The cubes will then be released into space by the crew of the International Space Station, and couples will be presented with photos snapped by the astronauts. Reservations for the service, which starts at a meager $270, will officially open at the July 29th Super Bridal Fair at the Okura Frontier Hotel Tsukuba. And that's actually today, Chris.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that space station circles the Earth at about, I think it's about 220 miles high, which means eventually those things will all fall back to Earth.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I or become not. Space debris
there
that will
go.
Threaten future space vehicles.
Well, they'll be in perpetual orbit, right?
Yeah.
Well, a family.
Maybe that one should go down with don't give knives to newlyweds
there
either,
you go,
right?
Exactly. A family boating on a North Carolina lake captured video of the moment a swimming rattlesnake slithered on board their boat. Wayne Robbins of Tennessee posted a video to Instagram showing his family's encounter with a large timber rattlesnake that swam up to their boat. Robbins' kids can be heard shouting with excitement and fear as the snake approaches and slithers aboard the back of the boat. The footage shows the snake swim back out into the water as Robbins inches close to it. Apparently, the dad had plans to whack it if it got any closer to
the family. It's very rare you'll see a rattlesnake swimming.
And I didn't know rattlesnakes swam.
I suppose any snake can swim, but you hardly ever see a rattlesnake swim.
I tell you.
You don't want him in your boat, that's for
no,
sure.
No, you don't. Well, who said you have to spend money to make money? Well, a Delaware man's $600 gamble paid off when he bought an entire book of scratch-off tickets and won a $10,000 jackpot. Hmm. Andrew Dara forked out $600 to buy an entire book of 24 tickets at $25 each. When I told the cashier I wanted a book of tickets, he asked if I was sure. The look on his face was priceless, he said. The lucky player said his 11th ticket was the big winner. Dara said he plans to use his $10,000 prize to pay off his work van. And wildlife officials in Arizona said toads are being stolen from a conservation area, and the thieves are believed to be planning to lick them. The Spurcross Conservation Area's official Facebook page posted footage showing multiple people taking Sonoran desert toads late at night.
For a psychedelic,
Well, the Post said the case has been turned over to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office to seek charges, including violation of the park's posted hours and vandalism. According to Randy Babb, an Arizona Game and Fish wildlife biologist, said the thieves were likely planning to lick the toads. Sonoran desert toads have a poison that, if ingested, induces a hallucinogenic effect.
Yeah.
They're the largest toad in the Southwest and can reach sizes of more than 2 pounds and can live to be 20 years old.
Yeah, evidently it's similar to LSD.
Yes, or magic mushrooms. Remember those?
Yeah, the toads, I guess it's a defense mechanism,
right.
And yet it's not, you're not going to get a prince, though.
No.
Right?
No.
It's not like kissing in the fairy tales.
No, you'll probably end up being very, very sick.
Most likely.
And could easily overdose. Who knows,
who
right?
Who knows?
Well, we have the dumb criminal of the week story, and it's very fishy, Chris. Police in Ohio shared a photo on Facebook of two suspected thieves carrying a stolen aquarium on a motorcycle. Are you getting a visual of this? And the aquarium, of course, later shattered.
Oh.
The aquarium had been shoplifted from the local PetSmart store last Monday morning, and an officer on his way to the scene spotted the pair on the motorcycle. Police said the passenger jumped off the motorcycle at one point, breaking the pilfered aquarium, and was arrested. Both men were caught and charged with theft-related offenses, including traffic violations.
At least the thing wasn't full of water and fish.
Crazy. Well, we know it's been one hot summer, and for one pooch and a sprinkler, it was all about fun. A Texas woman shared a photo of her puppy beating the summer heat by dragging his favorite sprinkler inside her home to spray water around the living room. Kara Wars, 5-month-old border collie, Baloo, is seen playing in the water sprayed by the sprinkler after dragging it through the doggy door into the living room of her Lake Dallas home. I was in a panic on what to do, Moore said. My lamp and TV were getting soaked. Moore said her dog playing in the sprinkler is one of his favorite activities. Luckily for Kara, her home has tile floors.
Yeah, but the furniture, I guess, wasn't looking too good.
She didn't say it was a total loss, but I wonder if that TV set is going to be working.
You know, border collies are very smart animals, and they're They're working dogs.
They are working dogs.
And they will herd other animals, and they will take charge of a situation. And it appears as though that little pooch took charge of that situation. All right, we got to take a break here in just a second. When we come back, Kathy's got another couple of stories for you. And also, don't forget, Mark Walters follows us up here in a few minutes at 8 o'clock, and they'll take you live until 11 o'clock here tonight. So a lot of great stuff coming up on his radio show, I'm sure. And then tomorrow night, don't forget, it'll be Monday night already again. We'll get you going with Abe Katzman. And John Barros is scheduled to be in with us tomorrow. Plus, we'll be having some candidates, local candidates who will be on the show over the next couple of weeks as we begin to help you sort out these some of these local elections. And we'll begin to go over some of these amendments and things that are on the ballot this year as well. You got how many? You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 constitutional, 11, 12, 13 constitutional amendments to vote on. And in Orange County, you got a school board question as well. So some of these are obvious, some of them are not, and we'll help you sort them out as the week goes along here. You're listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show as we begin to wind down our Sunday evening 3-hour tour.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
All right. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We go where the news takes us.
You better believe it.
Whether it's the Twilight Zone, One Step Beyond, or the Outer Limits.
Well, Chris, I know you love naked yoga.
I love yoga pants.
Well, it looks like you might have a little fashion statement going on there tonight with your jeans.
Yeah, she's talking about this big old hole in my knee.
Yeah. Well, a Massachusetts man was arrested at a New Hampshire Planet Fitness after he did naked yoga on the public gym floor.
Yeah, not a good sight. Not a good sight.
When police apprehended 34-year-old Eric Stagno, He told them he thought the fitness center was a judgment-free zone, like the commercial, a reference to the franchise's marketing slogan. Officials said Stagno was naked when he used the gym's yoga mats.
Yuck.
Witnesses said the guy walked in, stripped down right in front of customers, and left his clothes and belongings at the front desk as he walked back and forth across the gym where he landed on some unfortunate yoga mats. Gym patrons said they felt disgusted, sick, and unsafe. Stagno was arrested for indecent exposure and released on $1,000 bail. And if you're also a Planet Fitness...
I guess he was no Burt Reynolds.
...member, they've had some damage control this last month with some problems at some of their locations. This one from sunny Florida, where a woman known as Mrs. H is taking legal action against Planet Fitness, saying the health club is discriminating against her after she expressed her objections to a transgender man being allowed in the ladies' locker room. Apparently, Planet Fitness is deciding to promote a transgender ideology at the expense and security of women. Apparently, the transgender man exposed himself to women in the locker room and got into an argument with another woman over use of the tanning room. Mrs. H allegedly made vocal comments about the presence of the man, Jordan Rice, in the ladies' locker room. Because of her comments to other female members of the gym, her membership at Planet Fitness was terminated.
Her membership?
Right. However, Liberty Counsel is representing Mrs. H in the lawsuit against Planet Fitness. A letter sent by Liberty Counsel to the CEO of Planet Fitness states in part, Misogynist, thank you. Anti-woman harassment should have no place in Planet Fitness locations and violates Florida law. The letter goes on to explain that Mrs. H is herself a survivor of an attempted violent rape and is keenly aware situations where men have no legitimate purpose and in which women are placed in vulnerable situations. How do you rule on that, Chris?
Now, wait a minute. Now, both of these stories were for Planet
Fitness? Different Planet Fitnesses. One in New Hampshire, one in Florida.
But they're both Planet Fitnesses.
In the last month, these are stories.
And in the one, they wouldn't let the guy do naked yoga.
In the midst of customers.
But in the other one, they terminated the membership
the
of a woman
customer.
Who complained about a man being in the woman's locker room.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
All doesn't,
the, contradiction, the, right?
It doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah. And of course, it talks about them trying to improve their transgender ideology, which makes no sense.
Now the guy that was trying to do the naked yoga, he should have just come in and said that his name was Sophie or Hillary. And then, see, they would have been okay with it.
I don't know.
Right? Because he would have been a transgender. And therefore, it would have been okay for him to be naked in front of women. Because that's who this is. The issue's really because he was naked in front of women, right?
On the transgender side, correct. The naked man was not transgender in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but he was
heterosexual.
But the issue was he was naked in front of women.
He was naked in front of everybody.
Well, presumably it was women who were the ones most offended.
There are dress codes in these gyms.
It just doesn't seem right.
But I have to tell you, I've seen some really interesting things, but I've never seen a naked man on a yoga mat, and I hope I never do.
So do I.
Well,
I hope I never do as well.
But I'm just saying,
the only mistake he made wasn't that he went in there and got naked. It was because he went in there as a man and got naked.
Yes.
If he would have went in there as a woman and got naked, it would have changed the whole situation.
I don't think so, Chris. I don't think so.
According to what happened in Florida, I guess it
would. Florida, remember, the rules are different here in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, a Michigan village inaugurated its fourth ever mayor to Poffus, a local cat named Sweet Tart. The village of Omena voted the 9-year-old feline who previously served as the village's vice mayor into office in an election that featured votes being cast via dollar donations that went to the local historical society. While I'm homeschooled, I graduated first in my class, Sweet Tart's campaign profile boasted. Officials said there were a record number of votes in the election, which featured a variety of animal candidates. The village has had an animal mayor for more than a decade. Keith Distelcomen said there were about 7,000 votes cast, including several online. Sweetheart's opponents in the race, which included 13 dogs, a peacock, a goat, a chicken, and another cat, were all awarded positions on the village council. And I would say, you know what? These animals would probably be better in political office than some of these hacks we have running these municipalities. And that's SOS News for Sunday, July 29th.
I tell you what, I think Sweet Tart would have done us a whole lot better here in Orlando than what the mayor and city council did this past week with that, what they call it, the Fair Act, whatever, justice, what, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't
about.
Live in Orlando.
Then thank your lucky stars you don't. I love that name, though, for a cat.
Sweet Tart, I do. And I love the candy Sweet Tarts. You know, the candies that are real sour, Tarts, they're delicious.
Yeah. Sweet Tart. All right, so animals for the city council, not a bad idea, I reckon. All right, so that's just about going to wrap it up for us tonight. We got just a few minutes left here. Once again, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Not just to watch the shows, but as I said, Kathy does a lot of work during the week. Every day, putting stuff up there every now and then. Nostradamus will plaster something up there. Plus, we look forward to your comments, good, bad, and otherwise. We love to see them all. And once again, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. And don't forget to check out our website as well. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. That's where you can, of course, access our archive. And if you have not listened to our election night show, you ought to hear it. It is a hoot. We played a couple of clips from it from the other night. But the whole show was a whole lot of fun. And all of that, once again, is on our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, where you can also send me emails. And also, you can join the American Adversaries Army. So easy to do. Just go to the recruiting office there. You can even pick your rank. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. And also on our website, you'll find ads for all of our sponsors. And if you click on those ads, it'll take you right to the sponsors' website. And we really do appreciate your supporting our sponsors, because without their support, we couldn't do this radio show. So it's a group effort here. We help them, they help us, we help you. That's the whole idea. So we really do appreciate it when you folks do that. New York politician by the name of Sheldon Silver is going to be spending. Sheldon Silver went for the gold, and he took about $4 million worth of bribes, and now he's going to go for the jailhouse. He'll be there for 7 years. And this wasn't the first time this guy got caught up in this. And why do I bring this up? Because he was one of the top politicians in New York, outside of the governor and perhaps the mayor of New York City. He was the one who had the most influence and power in New York. He was the state assembly speaker. This would be akin to be sort of the majority leader in the Senate, say. And it just... you know, it just goes to show that the corruption in politics, it cuts across all party lines, and you know, the media has not been focusing on this, obviously, because he's a big Democrat. But the prosecutor's office there in New York had been pursuing this guy, and he made it pretty easy for them, evidently, to catch him and convict him. But this is the same prosecutor's office who is after Michael Cohen, and we shall see what happens with that case. It's not Mueller anymore. Now, the New York office is separate from Mueller's investigation. Now, I suppose they could refer things back to Mueller, and Mueller has subpoenaed the lawyer who was mentioned on the Cohen tape, who was actually Trump's main financial guy, to begin asking him questions, and we'll see where that goes. But this whole convoluted mess up there in New York is different than Washington, D.C., and I do believe that the president will get fairer treatment out of what goes on in New York. But at the end of the day, The Democrats have got themselves into a box with this whole Russia collusion business, and they are not going to be able to let it go. And we can make hay out of that. Hey, look, we're just about out of time tonight. Don't forget Mark Walters and Armed American Radio coming up next. And when we come back tomorrow, we'll have Abe Katzman be joining us and John Barros as well. So once again, thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries Radio Show. We really do appreciate you folks being out there and watching, those of you who have been on Facebook. So, till tomorrow night. Night, everybody.
Good night.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's 8 o'clock.